CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Paul Halpern. His new book is Flashes of Creation, George Gamow, Fred Hoyle, and the Great Big Bang Debate. We've now found evidence of the Big Bang, or the Big Squeeze, or the creation moment. We also have better and better understanding of how long ago it happened, 13.8. The temperature of the cosmos turns out to be, I believe, 3 degrees Kelvin. Is that correct, Paul? Three?
Yeah, more precisely about 2.73 degrees Kelvin, but three was about what they came up with at that time.
And we follow Gamow first because he's older and his health becomes a challenge to him in the 1960s. He will die in 1968. He's a smoker and he has troubles with alcohol. However, before he passes away, he recognizes that his work has contributed to these discoveries. Is that correct, Paul?
Oh, yes. He started writing to people. He wrote to Peebles. He wrote to Dickey. And his student, Ralph Alpher, also was writing continuously to them to try to get the record straight, because some of the calculations that were done by the Dickey and Peebles group essentially reproduced some of the work that Alpher, and under the tutelage of Gamow, had done in the 1940s. So they were trying to bring attention to their earlier papers. And at one point, Gamow went to a conference in New York, and at the conference, he made a statement: if you lose a penny and then you later find a penny, it's still the same penny. The same with my theories.
Yes, it's a wonderful metaphor. I liked him for it. Now, Fred Hoyle. Fred Hoyle works with husband and wife, Margaret and Jeffrey Burbridge, and Wilson Fowler. You've mentioned him earlier. You said that that Hoyle's work pursues into the bodies of stars. They come up with an explanation for elements heavier than iron. The puzzle here is not that they did it. It's genius work. But that later on, the Nobel Prize skips the Burbridges and Hoyle and gives the Nobel Prize for that work to Fowler only. We don't know why that's true. Is that correct, Paul, as of yet?
Yes. In my book, Flashes of Creation, I speculate as to why Hoyle was excluded from the Nobel Prize. And there are tons of theories about it. And all of Hoyle's former colleagues and his daughter and his son all weighed in on this. And they said that Hoyle was very upset, but he didn't really talk about it publicly. But he never talked to Willie Fowler, who was his good friend, again after that, and pretty much went off on his own. And some speculation is that his theories were becoming very fringe at the time in other areas, so the Nobel Committee wanted to stay away from him. But the leading theory is that one of the nominators, which is speculated to be Hans Bethe, thought that Fowler was the head of the group. And then he was later told, no, Hoyle was the one who came up with the idea. And Bethe was apologetic in talking to Jeff Burbidge about this. So it's possible that it came down to one of the Nobel nominators having a misconception about Hoyle's role.
We'll know later when they open the papers. So right now, let's attend to the later years of our protagonist, Fred Hoyle. He and his wife moved to the Lake District, though Caltech wants them. She doesn't want to live in California, Barbara. They moved to the Lake District, where he loves to hike. He has a wonderful conversation with the polymath Feynman. I said, all these conversations, Paul, are wonderful to imagine what they were thinking at the time, because they're now all legends, separate legends. I'm attracted to Fred Hoyle coming up with panspermia, because that's current again, Paul, panspermia, the idea that life is spread throughout the universe by travelers like Oumuamua, the asteroid that just flashed through the solar system. Has anyone written about Fred Hoyle's early touching on panspermia besides you? Is that generally known now, Paul?
Well, there are several biographies of Hoyle, earlier biographies of Hoyle, but generally his panspermia era is not looked upon very favorably. But I found in researching my book and looking into it, I found that some contemporary people at Harvard were starting to talk about panspermia again. So I kind of treated it neutrally in my book. So I said that people thought at the time it was something on the fringes. I think the big thing that was controversial was not just the panspermia, not saying that life evolved elsewhere and came to the universe, but definitively saying that Darwinian evolution is impossible. Now, Hoyle started saying that the Earth is too young for evolution to have taken place, and that won him the admiration of young Earth creationists, who started to write to him and say, well, why don't you come to our conferences and give talks, which is ironic because Hoyle was more or less a religious, more or less an atheist, but he was invited to creationist conferences. And he didn't, I don't know if he saw the irony there. And then he started saying that all diseases, even contemporary diseases, come from space. And he said that Legionnaire's disease was brought in by a comet. AIDS was brought in by a comet. And people just thought that that was kind of bonkers.
A last detail about Fred Hoyle. Gamow leaves us in 1968. Last detail about Fred Hoyle, to my reading of him, is that he was creative more than he was archival. And his approach was spontaneity. Does that challenge the general understanding of how you should be a physicist, Paul? We have about a minute.
Well, both Gamow and Hoyle were seat of the pants thinkers. They would come up with an idea in a flash, test it out, and they didn't have any patience for developing ideas over many, many years. Gamow would come up with many, many different ideas. Many of them would fail, but he'd pursue the best ones. And Hoyle was more stubborn about sticking to some of the strange ideas he had.
Paul Halpern. The book is Flashes of Creation, George Gamow, Fred Hoyle, and the Great Big Bang Debate. That continues. Paul Halpern of the University of Sciences. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.